Right now, it is time to bring in Thorin Christensdottir from Main Street Magazine. You can find Main Street Magazine on the web at mainstreetmag.com. Also, for pickup throughout many areas for free in the tri-state region. And happy opening of the Dutchess County Fair Day today, Thorin. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So the fair is open this year. Last year was, I think, their first cancellation ever of the fair.
I think it actually was the second time. We have it in our article, actually, and I just forget the date, but I think there was one other time that they had to cancel, whether it was World War II or the Depression or something like that.
I think it was World War II, which would have been a good reason to cancel. But what most people don't realize, I know people in Dutchess County do, this is the second biggest fair. I mean, the New York State Fair is bigger, and that's it. This is a real, real big fair.
It's a huge fair. I think many years ago I read that there were over a couple million people that come to it. And I remember, I think it was probably 20 years ago, the Clintons came, and I think it was, you know, soon after he was President Clinton, and so it's always a big one. You always see someone there.
There was a legendary story that Dave Teeter told me, because that's when he was running the Milkshake Shack there, that when Hillary Clinton was running for president, she came with her Secret Service Brigade, and they bought about, I want to say, 30 or 40 milkshakes.
Oh, dear. That'll slow down the line.
The whole brigade and everything like that. But it is an interesting combination of a classic country fair, but also equally as big as almost like the Big E and the New York State Fair, with all the different entertainment and different events that are going. Well, anyways, that kicks off today, so I just thought I'd remind people about that.
We should also remind them they have to get tickets online.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, the people have asked us why we don't have many ticket giveaways for these things this year, and that's why, because these are all online. It's just safety protocols, and that is why there's, you know, we don't give out handheld tickets this year. It's just for most events, so that is why that is limited and down. Also coming up in Millerton this weekend, I just wanted to bring this up because my friends are there. The Eddie Collins Park will be, they'll have their ceremony about what they're going to do there. There's going to be an ice cream social and more there this weekend, the Eddie Collins.
On Saturday, yeah, there's a groundbreaking ceremony. They've got some great speakers, including the new mayor of Millerton and who was that? I think Sue Serino from New York State, as well as Mark Molinaro. And they have some Millerton families and kids who are actually doing the actual ribbon cutting.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good event. I look at Sharon and I look at the recreation fields in Sharon, and really it's one of the best in the area. And I look at Eddie Collins Park, and once it's all finished with what they want to do, it will be on par with one of the best town recreation areas within a 50-mile radius of Millerton. Really, it's going to be outstanding.
I'd say for sure.
All right. Well, speaking about outstanding, let's go to your magazine. You've got a story on Hudson Valley Historic Sites, and the story is called Day Tripper.
Yeah, Regina did a quick piece about four here, historic sites that are basically in the Hudson area or the greater Hudson area, so that it's, you can jump between each of these fairly quickly, but they're obviously all national historic sites in New York State and have a great significance on their own. Both the Thomas Cole Historic Site and the Olano State Historic Site are that of two, you know, Hudson River Valley painters, and then the skywalk that's between them. And she ends it out with the Saugerties Lighthouse, where you can actually, I guess, stay there for the night.
Yeah, you were so lucky around here, the Hudson Valley, and like you say, you've just got three of them pointed out, but there's so many different places in the Hudson Valley that are recreational, and people who live in the Hudson Valley and people who live in Northwest Connecticut and maybe sometimes in South County, Massachusetts, really do forget how popular of an area this is to visit, whether it's a rail trail, whether it's one of these places, whether, you know, whatever it is. We really are a pretty major tourist attraction in this region, and with everything we have to offer, this region has been suffering for a while because of last year, but it's all coming back this year, which is nice.
It is, and it's funny you say that. I listened to some podcasts while I drive during the day. And in the last three episodes, they have been talking about the Hudson Valley nonstop. And two of the people interviewed him, and these are celebrities. One of them just bought a house in Rhinebeck, and the other one is in the Catskills. So it's, you know, I'm like, wow, everyone's here.
Yeah, it's funny. Years and years and years ago, the Catskills was a huge spot for celebrities with all the different hotels and everything like that. But the area has now morphed into a true, beautiful second residence area and also a vacation area. And you can just tell by how the area survives in the summertime. Now, your next story is an interesting story. I haven't golfed ever since we started this radio station. I haven't had time to golf. But you've got a story on Undermountain Golf. And when I ran WQQQ, Janice France was a salesperson who worked with us. And we used to go out and play golf at Undermountain. And I almost killed her one day she was standing to the side of me. Well, she was standing to the side of me, and of course I was not a good golfer at the time, and I actually hit a ball directly off the side, went right over her head. But I used to play Undermountain Golf Course a lot because it's a great, great course. First of all, it's family owned and it's a friendly course, kept in great shape, but it's also for the average golfer, the beginning golfer, and you really have to be, if you're a good golfer, because the greens are so small and fast and there's a lot of rough, it's even hard for good golfers. It really is a gem of a golf course.
Well, John is also a golfer, and so we're lucky to have John, and so he's able to talk about things just like you did, because I have no idea about golf. But John, from my perspective, at least, a wonderful piece telling the history of how the Undermountain Golf Course started and to where it is today. And he, just like you described it, he also goes through and talks about the uniqueness of the golf course. And I think a lot of people in a region certainly know it, but if for those who don't, it is a hidden gem here.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Hotchkiss School Golf Course. Not many people realize that that's open to the public, and they're 9-hole courses. Hotchkiss is a little longer, but they're really affordable to local residents. I mean, we lost a couple of golf courses here, and also now, of course, Silo Ridge is a closed community, a closed course. So these two courses can keep the people happy, and like I said, their hometown faces that run them, so it's nice, and they do a lot of fundraising with the area with area nonprofits to raise funds, and they keep their prices low for their golf tournaments. So that's Undermountain. They're just a great little spot. Your next story that I want to talk about, and that is business starting or expanding.
Yeah, so we had, obviously, you know, I have a design and marketing firm, so I have a little knowledge in this, but we decided to keep, to put in a little piece about folks, you know, who, especially this past year, there's a lot of business talk and expansion and growth and just pivoting. And so I did a little piece about that, about, you know, a couple of things to keep in mind. And of course, I'm just scratching the very surface of it. There's so much that can go into it, but I put in a couple of thoughts about it and how and what to think about.
It's interesting. When we started this radio station, it was literally, we came on the air and started fundraising 3 days before the big stock market crash. It happened back at the end of the Bush presidency and the beginning of the Obama presidency. And I was reading books about that sometimes economic hard times are great times to start businesses, because it gives you equal footing with businesses all of a sudden that have been around for years, and you can build equally with the businesses that have been pre-existing, and you start off on a more even footing. So it's an interesting way to look at that.
That is a good point. At least you start at the bottom, right? Where
you can
only grow from there.
You start at nothing, but when everybody else is having the same problems, you're there with them. And so we took that to heart. So it makes me feel a little bit better. Finally, a walk in the woods is your next story.
CB went up to Art Omai in Ghent, and so he walks through and kind of for those who don't know, Art Omai is another hidden little gem there, but it's a beautiful structure that they've built there, welcoming center and information center. And then they have artists in residence and a number of them, and then they have acres of art installations in the fields that, you know, you can meander through, and it's family friendly, and it's fun to see the all kinds of different art in different situations. And I think it was even maybe, you know, close to 10 years ago, I remember there's a little pond there, and there was the installation was that a person was living in this thing that was floating on the pond. So they always have something curious and interesting. And in this piece, CB just walks you kind of through and talks about a couple of different artists who are there and the pieces that they have on display.
All right. In the final minute, update any more new information on the first of hopefully many annual Millerton Food Festivals.
It has been approved by the village. Thankfully, they have been, you know, very supportive of it. And we have, so far, we have Mama Lowe's barbecue coming, as well as Cosmic Donuts. And we're trying to work on maybe one other food vendor, but the Millerton Inn is going to have a barbecue also on their lawn. And all the food vendors in town are doing things, like the Dig will have a crepe station, and the restaurants will all have, you know, something special. And then Lan and Northeast Ford has gotten permission to set up at the old Grand Union Plaza, where he will have some of his trucks there, as well as he's invited a number of other vendors, and I'll have the list from him soon. But he'll have a baker, he'll have a farmer, and he actually has a semi-pro soccer team that's going to be coming to sign autographs and stuff. And as far as I know right now, so by next week that I talk to you, I should have a more cohesive list of everything. But so far, you know, we're excited, and we're going to have some live music as well in town, and we're hoping to get a few more vendors, but both McEnroe and Willowbrook Farms will also be in town for the event. And so, you know, it might not be huge this year, and but we, you know, we hope to just grow from here.
Oh, I think it'll be huge. I think people are going to love it. I think what Millerton does when they plan events, I think it'll be huge. I think a lot of people will visit the town on that day. I think it's a great idea. Well, that is Main Street Magazine. Once again, you can find Main Street Magazine on the web, mainstreetmag.com, and of course, for free pickup throughout the tri-state region. Thorin, we will check in with you once again next week.
Great. And our September issue should hopefully be out by then, too.
All right. Take care, Thorin.
You too. Bye-bye.
Main Street Magazine here on Robinhood Radio. You can find Main Street Magazine once again, mainstreetmag.com on the web.